This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
In the race, vintage hats, shirts, golf gear supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Hat House and today's maiden voyage of the Raiders of Resale. It's going to be a podcast about eBay, about whatnot, and everything in between on reselling. And we've got Fired Up Fives with us.
What it do?
Coach Porch.
What's up?
And what we're going to do is we're just going to start off and we're going to have a great podcast about we're going to talk about what's doing well in the resale world, what might suck in the resale world, and we're definitely going to get to some crazy customers that we encounter in the resale world because there's a lot changing, especially in whatnot and eBay. So, what about you, Fired Up? What about your last show? How did it go?
Terrible. Worst show ever. Worst show ever. I think. I was talking to Amanda about this last night. I normally go, I have been over the last couple of months. I normally go at 7:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday nights. You know, I feel like Mondays are, nobody looks forward to a Monday. So, you know, there's not a lot of other, like, of the really large sellers on Mondays. And so that's kind of where I've landed, for the most part. But yesterday I went at 8 p.m. Eastern instead of the 7:19 normal start time. I don't know if that had anything to do with like the general lack of viewership or not, but
do you feel like you had fire items like you always have? Do you think they were as good?
I mean, it was okay. It was a mix, you know. I don't know. There's always the I feel like the shirt, like the vintage shirt game, or just really like the vintage clothing items. We're not including hats, so just all the other like wares or whatever is just a much different. It's a much different avenue for me because A, I'm still super new to really everything, and B, there's just the variety is so crazy. You know what I mean? Like there's just so many different, like there's just so many different things. You know, there can be art and there can be sports and there can be, you know, music and there can be like these abstract thing. So it's hard to like really have a pulse on what is going to be.
So what are you going to do to fix it? What do you think's the magic fix?
Yeah, I think you just got to stay at, once you kind of establish a time frame, then you got to rock with that time frame regardless of anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because as you guys know, my show used to be every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I'd go 7 to 9, 7 to 10, however long the show took me. And then on Whatnot, it got to be where Wednesday was everybody in my category wanted to go Wednesday night for some reason. And with my work schedule, my workload becoming as big as it is, it was harder and harder for me, especially with everybody in DC having to go back to the office, to get here in a manageable amount of time to start. So I moved, and it was a challenge to move from my established day and time to a new one. But you'll see, I made the move to Saturday at 7 o'clock. And I think everybody's eventually now has caught up with me being there at that time rather than Wednesday. So I think what you're saying is, you know, it's consistency.
Yeah.
They want to know my guy's there at this time and he's going to bring the goods.
Now, I'm terrible at it because you never know when I know maybe 3 or 4 days before I'm getting ready to go. And so I kind of just shoot from the hip on Whatnot. And
yeah. I think in your respect, Steven, you bring a different level of product that everybody's become accustomed to. And so they kind of see it as a special thing when Hat House is doing a show. We got to show up. We got to show out. And I think.
Right. But that's a lot of pressure too. I want to sell. So my last show was an absolute bomb too. I mean, Fired Up is the one that bailed me out basically. Cause I tried to sell some visors on a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock and it was terrible. There was 8 people in my room and 2 of them were Fired Up, I think. And I think he was logged into 2 phones or something. And it didn't go well, but I think
we've all had those shows. I mean, I'm going on, you know, I'm just shy of 2 years now on this app, Whatnot, that we're talking about. And I've had those shows where I'm like 30 minutes into it thinking, man, I'm going to make $12 tonight. And what am I doing here? And, you know, it eventually pulls out to a decent number that I guess, you know, but you just got to stay at it. I mean, that's right. That's what I would tell anybody that's starting up. You just have to stay at it.
Yeah. The first while is going to like the first while sucks consistently. And then you get to a point where it's like better with an occasional suck, you know?
Yeah.
And then hopefully you get to a point where it's just like, no, there's not really any sucking. It's just everything. All your shows are good. A lot of people are in there, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I've been looking at that reseller group you told us about, and there are so many people in that Whatnot reseller on Facebook. Mm-hmm. There are so many people in there trying to, and just, they feel like they're dying on a vine all the time and not able. And they have like 3 people in their show and they don't know what they're doing wrong. And I don't really.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humor. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Know how to help them because, I mean, I've been there in that situation, but I guess so much is I just people aren't selling things. They're just talking too. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just want something sold. And I guess if it's started at $3 or $5 or whatever it is, just sell something.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I mean, if you are a talker, if you're there more for the social side of it, people are going to come in and then they're going to give you X amount of time and then bam, they're gone.
Right.
As much as people like the social side, they're here to get some deals. They want to buy something for an ungodly price that they can't get normally.
Right.
Yeah, it's always just finding a balance. And I think that's important too, because on that same site or on that same page on Facebook, you'll see, oh, nobody gets any viewers if they don't start everything out at a dollar. Or, you know, that I feel like that's a really common theme on, you'll never get anybody in your room if you don't start out for a dollar. Coach is a great example of not starting it out for a dollar. And $3 is, I know you start yours at three. I start mine 1, 3, 5, whatever. But Coach is a great example of having 40, 50, 60, 70 people in there plus and starting out at 10 bucks maybe, or maybe 20 bucks. You know what I mean? Like, it just all depends on, not everything, you know, you don't always have to be.
Yeah. You got to find that number that suits you.
Yes.
Like $3, that is definitely a Hat House's deal. That is you to a T, no matter what. You're always at $3. And then for me, like, I used to do my hats at $5. And then I made a move to the $6 mark and literally lost my entire audience.
That's crazy. Literally. Over a dollar.
Over a dollar.
Over a dollar. Over a dollar. Yeah.
You will not
slide. And then like I did the same thing with the shirts. I was doing 7 when I was in what I call my medium quality. And then I was doing 9 because I didn't want to break the double digit. And then one week I just said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And it corresponded. I went up a dollar to 10. And it corresponded with the way I changed to my preview video.
Right.
So yeah, that was, rather than doing that crappy little view down the rack, I literally give you a shot of everything I'm adding to the rack.
Right. I think it's important.
And they get to see what they want. I mean, everybody gets to see what they want. And $10 between the three of us, I would spend $10 almost anything.
So, Mike, what do you think about you're preloading the show so much, and do you really think that time's worth it, or would what Coach is doing might be better, and just taking a video, even if it's 3, 4, 5 minutes long, yeah, you may not sit through the whole video, but you get a pretty, maybe you front load it with the bangers that you're going to be running, kind of 3 or 4 of them in the front, and hey, we're going to be running this. If you want to see everything else, I'm going to go through everything. And I just don't know. How much time do you spend taking pictures of all that? I guess is my question. And all them titles.
So like yesterday, there was what, 80 something things. The pictures and the listing probably takes an hour and a half, maybe something like that. If I had to guess.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I guess the reason that I do it specifically with the shirts and the jackets and whatnot, and I don't do it with the hats and the golf, is because I feel like I know the hats and the golf better than I know the shirts and the jackets. So like I can, you know, I don't need to take a picture of something and preload, you know, a FootJoy, because I know you can generally know what it's going to sell for, or this sports specialties hat. And I don't know as much about the shirts and the jackets. So like, I feel like it's not.
Are you doing research while you're doing that?
Huh?
Are you doing research while you're doing that?
I do my best not to research. Like, I know it sounds dumb, but because we'll probably get into it later, but one of my things that I can't stand in a show is I need X amount of dollars for this. And then we're going to yell at everybody because we don't get it. You know, this is X number of dollars on eBay, and I'm going to yell at you because it's not going for that price. I don't like that. So I do my best not to know what this thing goes for on eBay, because if it's $100 shirt and it sells for 15 bucks, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. So, but I preload a lot of shirts because a lot of them I just don't know. So like, I want, you know, you can kind of get a gauge on like, okay, is this thing popular from the bookmarks and the pre-bids on it?
Right. And you got the cut tag stuff, and you don't remember if it's a large or extra large. And then if you have the title there, I totally get that part too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes up more time for sure though.
Well, I think in Mike's case, he's bringing such a variety to his shows that it does give that big audience a chance to look at what they want.
Right.
If you notice, when people come into Mike's shows, it's like, hey, do you have number 17? hey, do you have, can you run number, you know, 64? So he's got people looking from top to bottom. And if it's only taking you, I swear, hour and a half is incredible. But if it's only taking you an hour and a half to load 80 pictures and descriptions, I would keep doing it.
Yeah, because if you look at my listings, it's literally, if there's only a graphic on the front, not the back, it's one photo.
And yeah, I make sure that's all I would do is one photo.
I make sure that the tag's in there so that I can zoom in and be like, okay, this is an extra large or, you know, whatever. And then if you look at the description, it's just like, it's like, you know, like large, whatever, Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. And then in the, you know, in the body, it just says large. You know what I mean? Like, it's super, you know, there's not a whole lot of like, it's not an eBay listing. You know, it's just a super, very short, cut and dry, onto the next one. I mean, you can load them, and you can probably load them in 20 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, it goes by really fast.
So I guess it's just a couple of different ways of doing it. If I was, I just see a lot of them, kind of to go back to what I was talking about, the people on the Facebook page. It seems like everybody's trying to do, there's a lot of people not in our vintage world, and a lot of them are trying to do this pallet Amazon thing, and everybody's trying to get in that Amazon pallet game. And I don't know how they're making that much money on that stuff. And I could, that would be impossible unless you had the following and you got people.
That's the ticket right there. You got to have the following.
Yeah, and you got
to get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball, 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Yeah, and it seems like you almost have to give it away to begin with on whatnot.
Yeah, it's called, that's what a guy that does storage units in my city. He has an okay following. He's like, you buy people's love. At first, he's like, you buy people's love. If you can't afford to buy people's love, then, you know, he's like, it's going to take a really long time. But if you bite the bullet and buy people's love, eventually, you know, like the larger viewerships and, you know, the real money starts kind of coming in.
Right. You know?
But that's why I would say, I mean, you're taking it to the pallets that are very popular right now. And I can tell you, as far as like in the golf category, this is what we've been seeing over the past year, is so many new sellers. They come on, and I would tell you probably 75% of them are three shows max and done. Because they don't realize it's more than what's in your closet, and to get more than what's in your closet requires work and effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we're going, is talking about sourcing. Yeah. We will definitely get to talking about sourcing, because it's all about replenishing what you have, or you can't do more than a couple of shows. So before we move to sourcing, what have you noticed? Have you guys noticed what's selling well in your shows, or you've been in other shows? What seems to be get the highest selling prices on either side that you're trying to bid on or that have sold in your shows?
Well, for me lately, the past couple shows have been phenomenal. So I would say, but on my end, it's the FootJoys. I mean, I'm just rocking out FootJoys left and right. So I'm literally grabbing every FootJoy I get my hand on.
Yeah.
I've got a rack here that still has from Saturday. Still has a bunch of Peter Millar sitting on it, bunch of beautiful Nike, but I dare you to try and find a FootJoy.
Yeah, and they were running those FootJoys too. They were not going for the minimum price.
If you can find a Ping quarter zip, that is an incredible sale. I know. I did last year. I couldn't sell Ping to save my ass.
Yeah.
This year I can't hold a Ping.
Mm-hmm. That in Callaway to me is the weirdest one because of it. So I'm in Florida, for anybody that, you know, doesn't know, but I'm in Florida and I'm right next to Sawgrass, right? So there's just just an ungodly amount of all nice golf stuff. And I always, Callaway is a nice one, but I always put FootJoy's and Peter Millar's and Travis Matthews and stuff like that kind of in the upper echelon. Yeah, but Callaway's do incredibly well. And Adidas does incredibly well too, which is the weirdest thing to me because I'm like, there's so many times that I just won't grab it, you know, because maybe it's $4 or something like that, you know? And I'm like, eh. But then it's like, then you get them, especially the good ones with the patterns. And next thing you know, it's a $18, $24 shirt, you know? Yeah.
It's all about the pattern on these golf shirts, man. I've noticed that taking off this past year. Before it was all about, you got Peter Millar, you got Travis Matthew, you got Grayson, G4, you know, those top of the line. It wasn't even FootJoy. Those top of the line designer names is what everybody wanted. And then it slowly evolved over the past 6 to 8 months. And everybody is looking for patterns. We want to be wild and wacky. And you could sell, I literally sold a PGA Tour shirt that had the most ridiculous pattern on it for like $18.
Yeah, it's crazy. Those are eBay prices. Those are definitely eBay prices. They might be over eBay prices. Getting the selling a polo for $10 to $15 on eBay is about where it's at. Yeah. And then getting $20
right here, $10 I just sold it for on eBay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then the PGA Tour shirt, $18.
Yeah. Yeah, and that might take 8 months to sell. You never know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not one of those ones that are 200-300% sell-throughs where you list it and it's gone the next day. Like,
yeah, if you put up a Grayson or something on eBay, you're probably gonna sell it in a week or two at least. Mm-hmm. But the FootJoys, I mean, you might even sit on them for a while on eBay.
FootJoys on eBay are a hard sell right now. Quite honestly, they really are.
Yeah,
it's all they're trying to give them away.
Doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they just like Coach. Maybe it's just Coach is what they like.
I mean, he is the man.
I'll show you this. I got to show you this. Hold on. So look. See all this? I don't know if I'm gonna be able to show it to you. Hold on. Offer, offer, offer. All that. It's for FootJoys. Some sellers offer me every single FootJoy they have for like $3.
Dude, listen, source where you can.
So somebody on eBay is offering you $3 for FootJoys?
No, they're offering their FootJoys to me for $3.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, because I have some polo shirts in my store because when I used to source them along about a year and a half ago, we used to do a lot of golf stuff in our store when we do Goodwills all the time and end up picking up FootJoys. And I probably still have, I don't know, 20 or 30 polos just from 2 years ago that I've marked down to $5 and cannot get rid of them. It's crazy.
I'll 79 on eBay. Send him an offer for $2.80.
Yeah. But what I end up doing on a lot of them, though,
once they get incoming,
yeah, once they get to like $4 or $5, and somebody offers me $2 or $3, a lot of times I will delist that item. Because I am not sending you a $2 polo over my dead body.
I'll go back and change that offer.
Yeah. I will go dig it out and we will sell it in the garage sale or it's going back to Goodwill. Change that to
$3.
That's literally so funny. That's literally so funny. Amanda and I will do things that sit. Well, listen, we're not good at holding on to things for all that long. So if something sits too long, which can only be maybe a couple months, you know, we'll take a bunch of stuff, say it's 20, 30, 40, like especially clothes, and we'll just put it in a big old lot, put it on auction, you know, whatever. Say it's 20 shirts, put on auction for $20 and then let it ride out for friggin' 7 days. Whatever it sells for, they get a big old box. And like, that's usually how we get rid of old stuff or whatever that we're just kind of tired of having around.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that with my hats that are laying around here.
Mm-hmm. Once you get below $10, it's not a diamond in the rough. It's probably not going anywhere. If it would have been worth something, somebody would have picked it up.
Yeah.
$10 ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically how we feel. We're just like, let's just try to get back to, like, hopefully near a break-even point. And, you know, and if we don't, then, I mean, either way, you know, we're just going to give it back to Goodwill or whatever. So, you know, like, try to get a nickel out of it.
You know? I do hat lots quite often because I get so many hats then I have to sort them. And there's definitely the ones that we don't want to list for each. But they do pretty well. Definitely right now is the time to sell the hat lots.
How many are you getting a week?
500 to 600 typically. There's 500 hats coming in this week. Well, actually 600, but I took about a month off because between February and March is just terrible on hats. So I didn't buy a lot of hats, but now it's kind of ramping back up, and hats will definitely be a big deal. I'm just torn on what, because like you said, Rob, when I was that people expect my Whatnot show to have really good stuff. But I need to figure out how I got to figure out how to move some lower end stuff on a Whatnot. So I don't know exactly what my next step is going to be there, because the next show I'm going to have is definitely going to be some good stuff. But I need to figure out how to transition out of that. And I would rather be able to run some shows like you do. And just if you want it for $10, I can do that. But I don't know if you don't want it for $10, and that's cool too.
I think you have to set up for it right there. But if you remember the text I sent you guys about the way I was considering doing a couple different hat shows going forward,
yeah,
rather than the big marathon one, do the smaller one. You know, you have a perfect setup right there for it. You could list 30 hats, bang them out in 30 minutes. You could shoot a shot of each one.
Yeah.
And really all you got to do is the one shot, the first shot, and then put a small, you know, description there. And everybody will get to see it because we're used to the 60 for 60, but you could do 30 and 30. List your 30, bang them out, be done.
Right.
So if you get 500 hats, of those 500, how many of them are worth more than $10? Like, just on average, generally speaking.
That's a great question.
Is it half? More?
It's more than half. I bet 75% to 80%. There's probably about 2 to 5% that it's probably about 2% that needs to be thrown away, then about 10% to 20% that needs to be lotted up. It's probably close to that. And trying to get the money back on the lot up stuff is really, really tough sometimes. But
yeah, because if you got, well, I mean, what if you got 50 hats that are like lot up hats, that's what, $150 or so in inventory?
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah. Yeah. That is hard to get $150 back on, you know,
on and then
hats.
Yeah, digging, and then what, 4 or 5% is $30+ probably.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's, see, I think the gap, especially on Whatnot, the gap between, like, you know, your $3 to $5 hat and then anything over $20 is like, I feel like it's so big.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, you know, $20 hats on eBay are, you know, can be like those vintage Navy truckers, or, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, the stuff like that or whatever. And, but right. It's like, you put that on Whatnot, dude, that's like a $2 hat. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. You know what I mean? Like, and then just like what you were saying earlier about those polos is that, you know, some things that have $10 comps on eBay will randomly go for $35 or $40 on whatnot. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, you guys paid $7 more for a wool sports specialty.
Right. And I've tinkered with it, and I actually have a couple that I've sourced off of eBay to put them in the next Whatnot show. And just to see, just to see how they'll do. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a $20 to $25 sports specialty hat, and to see, will it bang for 40 or 50? I don't know. But just to be able to, I don't know. I've kind of wondered that because I've seen it happen, and there's a lot of sports specialties that's not, I don't think people know the market well enough, you know?
I think if you have two or three of the guys in there that do know it, I think you're looking 30 to 50, depending on what it is.
Yeah. And because the banger hats get really close to eBay a lot really of times. Close. Yeah. They will get close. I mean, if you have a $200 or $300 hat, it's not going to make it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'll make it to 50% or more.
Yeah.
Generally. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And then you recoup a bunch of that with that lower fees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. That's what I've been trying to do is that's the goal is to move as many sales off of eBay to whether it's that's what I've really been invested in. I've been sending Instagram. I'm still not there yet, but I've been sending out a lot of. I thought I brought one, but I didn't bring it. But a lot of slow flyers to cut out to send people to my Instagram and to send people to Whatnot. I'll even say that I'm a Whatnot seller on this little flyer and try and get some people from eBay over to Instagram to my social to try to get them there. And I think I think that's the only way we're going to survive is eBay has with almost 10%, you need to promote something. It feels like on top of the 13% they already take out. 25% is just crazy, crazy amount of money.
Are you free ship on all your stuff or?
No, every hat's $5.95. I mean, you got to pay.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast tennis ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You're going to pay shipping. But the crazy thing is eBay even takes the fees on top of on the shipping too.
Yeah, of course.
The total amount. Yeah, but I think that's where we have to figure out how we're going to drive more people to our social and to the other places and get them away. I have to get them away from eBay. And I think I'm trying to figure out how to do that. eBay doesn't want you to do that. eBay, you definitely can't message people. Right. So the only other thing I called eBay and I asked them if I could do this. It's in my messages. It does send them to Hat House on YouTube. I say, hey, you might see your hat on my YouTube channel. Check us out on YouTube. And then hopefully that funnel from YouTube gets to Instagram and gets back to me and gets to Whatnot. And so trying to funnel all those customers away from the higher fees to the lower fees is the battle that I'm fighting right now.
And it's even like the thing is too, is that it's better for the customer to buy it from you, especially on your Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, basically if you're getting 25% fee for you, then you can give them maybe 10% off the listing price. You know what I mean? And then, so it's like, they're still getting a better deal. You're still getting more money. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's so tough because eBay fees, without the fees, eBay is just like the best. You know what I mean? When you have hundreds of millions of people that go in there every month to buy something from around the world, it just, you know what I mean? Like to have that amount of eyeballs is, you know, it's just, it's so hard, especially for when a person like you who has thousands and thousands of hats, You know what I mean? There's probably a couple hundred hats in there that is like this one person wants it. You know what right. I mean? Like, you know, it's not like one of the Sooners hats behind you that it's like there's a bunch of people that like the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just so, it's, yeah, it's super tough to get, you know, that amount of eyeballs, especially for things that are, you know, they're
a Hurley hat or Under Armour hat. How else am I going to sell it besides on eBay?
Exactly.
I don't know how to sell a Hurley hat on Whatnot. Maybe for $3. I mean,
$3. I did get that Fat Boy Blockhead from you.
That was a sweet hat. Yeah. I was saying Hurley. But yeah,
oh, Hurley.
Hurley. Hurley. I like that. Hurley,
because that hat was.
I heard
that.
You.
I love that hat.
Yeah, I think you got it for $10 or some shit.
But yeah, dude.
He's still smart over that.
This is what Amanda says. She goes, because like I'll get something from Rob or I'll get something from you or whatever. And she's like, do you guys just sell each other all your stuff? And I'm like, I mean, some of it, yeah, but I'm like, usually it'll go from like, you know, either Steven to me or Rob to me or me to one of them. And then from there, like it's a one-time transaction. You know what I mean?
I will never buy my shit back.
Yeah. And then from there, it's somebody else. You know, I'm like,
if I ever bid on something that you bought for me, do not let me do it. You have to stop the transaction. I demand we cancel it. Because I am not swapping back hats back and forth. I will not do it.
Dude, hey, speaking of cancel, how many cancel requests do you get on average per show?
Would you say? I don't get, I've gotten maybe two my whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had a handful, maybe five, maybe it's less than one per show.
Really?
Yeah. And all I've done on the cancel part is I say, okay, no problem. I'll cancel it, but then I'll block you.
Yeah.
I just block them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like yours is high?
Oh, dude, super high. I didn't get any of this last show, but I mean, the show before that, I'll easily probably get three a show. Easily.
Really?
Yeah. And no. Well, the thing is that it's like,
then you're an asshole.
Well, this is the hard part, right? It's like if you're a seller that has 300 people in your show, 100, 200, you know, whatever, large, you know, a large viewership, I think you can just be like, you know, beat it and then ship it out. No cancels. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But if you're having like 20 to 50, you know what I mean? Then it's kind of like that, you know, that one, it's not even the one viewer that you're going to lose because you didn't cancel. It's like the negative review or whatever you're going to get, or, you know what I mean? And then it's like, it's just annoying because you put in the show notes, like I do every show, listen, there are no cancels and I'll make a funny joke or whatever, but there are none, you know? And then it's like, if something goes for, you know, a couple bucks or whatever, of course I'm going to cancel it because you might get a higher, you know, it might be higher the next time you go. But, you know, some of the ones like last night, I had one that went for like 13 maybe, and the show prior was a cancel that went for 22. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you lose out on $9 because, you know, you're kind of going against your own policy, really.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't worry about the negatives too much. Do you personally look at somebody's feedback and that, does that keep you from buying from somebody?
No.
If they have one negative,
is when it's like, you know, 4.8 or whatever, which is still fine. It's still good, especially when you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, you know, I just look at it because like, I'm like, I want to see what weirdo wrote, you know, that this thing sucked and why it sucked. You know what I mean? Like,
That's what I'm saying. I think most people are like that.
Yeah.
Truth be told, you won't get a review for a cancellation.
You won't.
No.
For not a proven one?
It did not go through to be a sale.
No. I'm saying if you don't approve it.
If you force them to take the item.
Oh, if you force them to take it, then you're screwed.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's where I'm like, but I mean, it's like, what can they say? You know, like, oh, hey, I bid on this item. It clearly says no cancellations and he didn't cancel it. And I got the item. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, what else can they possibly say about it? You know, but it's still like, you know, one of those things where it's like, dang, dude, I hate that it's and it seems like it happens to me a lot, you know.
On eBay, I mean, I just take them all. We probably get a cancel a day at least.
Yeah.
On eBay, I definitely get canceled on. And on that part, it's just, why ship something that they obviously don't want? It's just going to end up being a return. But not as easy on the return. And yeah, what are they doing in your shows differently? You're just such a good salesman that, oh, that reminds me.
He's tricking them. And then they wake up.
Here we go. I gotta show the video.
You buy this for $39.99, guess what, folks? You take the L away. You put a W there, baby. You're a winner, man. You're the real deal. You're picking up chicks. Let me tell you something. You buy this set at $39.99, baby. You're the cock of the walk, man. You walk into the bar and you just find the hottest chick and you go, you, me, guess what? She says, why would I go out with you? Because I bought the deal on Wild West Deals for $39.99. That's why. She says, can I go home with you? That's how simple it is. That's how it works. That's what this.
I demand you. I got to see you sell something like that. That guy, you could do it.
I need to memorize his pitch, dude.
It would be awesome.
You just need parts of it.
Yeah.
You can steal some really good parts.
You know what happens is that they all get mesmerized by the stash.
Dude, I get a lot of stash comments, dude.
And then after that, it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I get a lot of stash. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people that have stashes. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's a lot of people. It's a theme. A couple people every show are going to say something about stash.
Pop in and go, whoa, look at that stash.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, dude, freaking, I don't know. I've had it for so long now that it's so, like,
I mean, why do you have to have a stash as a fireman? I don't get the, what's the,
because, well, we can't have any facial hair. Well, you can't have anything that, that will mess with the seal of the mask. So, you know, all the whole beard part, obviously, you know, it'll put a barrier between your skin and the mask. So it's easier to lose the seal. That's why everybody just does the mustache, because the mask will seal like right here on your face. And so I think, you know, just that's just kind of why everybody's got one. Because when I joined the academy, that's when we had to shave. So I went from having a full beard since I was like, you know, 18 or whatever, until I was 26, having a full beard. And then I shaved my whole face. And I was like, oh God, dude, that's not good, dude. And so then I literally grew the stash from the very first day. And then I've never shaved ever since. And that was, you know, I wasn't 26 when I joined the academy. I was 24. So that's 6 years ago. You know what I mean? So I just kept it because I look like a thumb or something like that without it, you know? Old baby face killer. Hey, Steven.
Yeah.
Can you pause this real quick so I can get some water?
Yeah, I can always cut it.
Yeah, cut it. I'll be right back in like 30 seconds. Start the timer.
Start the timer. This is, I'll show you my stash real quick. Not my mustache, obviously. We'll go for a little walk. Hold on. It's a little walk. It's only going around the corner. That's the vintage.
What are you going to do with them? You got a lot of cleaning to do? Or are you going to try and clean them up?
No, they're gorgeous. Look.
You need to list them all on eBay.
I was contemplating a vintage show. Because I know the vintage will sell for, what's that? There we go. For a good deal. But then again, like you're saying, it's like some days it's like, you know, you run a show and it's like, is anybody here? Hello.
You're right.
And I'm not letting them go for I wouldn't even start him for less than 20. The whole show would have to start at 20.
For sure. I would just take pictures of him, and I would put him on eBay, give him at least 30 days and see if you get any bites, and then maybe after 30 days then do a vintage show. I'd give him some time to get $40, $50, $60 for those vintage golf hats.
Yeah.
Before I did whatnot. But I mean, if you want to
drink enough water, dude.
No. I'm Gatorade.
Usually. That's literally a box of probably over 100.
There's 100 vintage hats in there.
There's over 100 vintage hats over there.
Dude, you probably have like $6,000 in hats, $7,000 in hats.
I just showed him those two boxes of hats.
I mean, you could have the coolest vintage, golf hat whatnot show ever. But I think I can't answer it for you. Do you want to make $20 a hat, or do you want to try and get 50 or 60?
Well, I think I've already answered it anyway, because I haven't had the show yet, and I've had them. I literally just keep adding to the stash.
Or just send them to me, and I'll make sure they get listed. I'll have 100 hats listed in 2 days.
Dude, you're an absolute animal, dude. I have the hardest time listing like 5 items a day on eBay.
Mary is the picture taker. She's awesome at it.
Yeah, I'm just like, when it comes to listing, even though, you know, 5 listings takes, you know, whatever. For me, it probably takes like, I don't even know how long, but it's just like so annoying. I'm just like, dude, I hate doing this.
Yeah, you got to just batching it. I mean, if I had to do it by myself, I'd still batch it. I mean, I take pictures of 50 hats, and then I'd sit down, and then I would just list all those 50 hats.
Mm-hmm.
I put up like 30 shirts, sweaters, jackets. Did it just a massive shot, and then I would shoot a ball. For me, like I would shoot a ball, and then I'd bag them, and then I'd custom skew them.
Right.
And then that's how I list them.
So yeah,
or I always have a shot with that custom skew with the photo. So I don't even have to go back. I could just go through the photos, pull them out, put them in, and then go through the setup.
Oh yeah, for sure. On shirts like that, that is the way to do it.
Yeah, mine all just get tossed into a bin and I go dig for it.
Oh no, you gotta stop.
Oh,
I don't do that, bro.
I was so good before I ever started Whatnot, I was so good about list this thing. I'd put it in a bag. I'd put it in a bin that was labeled A, B, C, D, whatever, you know what I mean? And then I would custom skew it. So when it sold, I knew exactly where it was. And that's our Whatnot.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards. Bro, I get stuff, dude, that's listed on eBay, dude, and that goes and into a bin. And there's about 7 bins downstairs, dude. So I got a 1 in 7 shot of friggin' pulling the right bin down.
It's a pain. How many cancels have you had on eBay?
None. Like I don't lose anything. It just takes me a minute to find it. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely wildly unorganized. Because I'm just like, so, dude, Whatnot's such a fun way to sell stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a blast, in my opinion, to sell there that it's like, I just only want to sell on that, you know? And I know the money in general is not as good, for sure. But it's just such a fun place to sell things that it's like, you know, I don't know. I just have way too much fun. So I'm just like, eBay's like,
I'm thinking that's because he's the social butterfly.
Yeah, I think so.
The social aspect really draws him.
Yeah.
So why are you even doing eBay?
because it's like there's things that you go out and find that, you know, just do better on eBay. And
prosthetic, like, legs. I mean, you can't really do that on one.
Yeah, dude. Dude, that was a good sale, though. You know what I mean?
I don't even know, like, what channel you put that on.
Like,
dude, no, shout out the YouTuber you found that on. Whose channel is it?
No clue. It was like, dude, it was like, it was probably when I very first started doing any of this. He was in some thrift store, and they had it behind the counter, and he could see it from the window as he was walking in, and and he bought it, and he sold his for, you know, it was like $1,000 or something like that. Dude, but mine was a youth prosthetic leg, so I only got a couple hundred.
Frickin'. Dude, how long did that thing take to sell?
Dude, not long. It's literally the best. It was like, I mean, it maybe took a couple weeks max. Yeah, that was after denying like a bunch of offers, you know, for
all offers on the
price. Yeah, $100, $150, you know, whatever. Like, yeah.
Don't they have to be like custom fitted though? I mean,
I think it's like
shoe
size.
That is not true.
It's not my shoe size. I would think though the apparatus could be retrofitted to you.
Okay, well, listen, dude, like, hey, you can take that question to our resident prosthetic leg expert, Rob Porch. And now, I honestly think it's because it's the parts that are on it. You know what I mean? They're like all titanium, carbon fiber, you know, so on and so forth. So I think it's not the leg as a whole
that takes in the bumper parts, all the parts.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
if you have like a blowout, you can use some of the parts.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, those things have
run flats. Upgrading to titanium. You know?
Dude, those have run flats, dude. That's what I'm saying. That was a great sale. Like, the first big sale that I ever had was like a bone scanning machine that was, I sold for $650 on eBay. And it was sold, shipped, arrived to that place, and then I got a listing violation.
Really?
Yeah, after bone it was already scan? Sold and shipped. Yeah.
Like a CT scan?
It was like some kind of like bone scan. It was like this, it almost looked like a laptop. And it was brand new. It was some kind of bone scanning thing. And I didn't know about the medical device, you know, policy or whatever. And so they returned it because they said it went against eBay's, you know, listing policy, even though they already had it. And I'm like, you already have it. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it back and it's used. I sold it to them new. I got it back used. And I'm like, so it was a fight to be like, hey, I know this violates your guys' policy, but they also bought something new from me and used it and returned it. And so, yeah, I literally got to keep all the $650.
They scanned their bone.
They did. Yeah. Yeah.
It was you got boned.
Dude. They tried to bone me, dude. And I was like, not today, Junior. Not today, dude.
Not today, like, Satan.
No way, dude. Not for $650, dude. Come on. $10 come up, though. Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice
10 into 650.
Yeah, 10 into 650. Dude, all of my
big. But you took it back. You had to refund them the money.
Yeah, I did. And then I got it back. I opened it up because so it was like it's in a box, and then in the box is it's in a case. So like you unzip the case, and all the components are in there, and they all had like the little things across the screen. You know, it was all brand new. And when I got it back, unzipped the case, opened it up, all the little protectors were peeled off. You could see it stores like, you know, the memory or whatever. So you could see that somebody had used it and like the memory was still on there, like of you know, whatever the metric is that it, you know, that it measured. So I emailed and I was like, blah, blah. I got on the phone.
So where is it now?
It's literally in my garage. Oh, actually, it might be thrown away now, but it's probably in my garage still.
Have you measured any more bones with it?
Dude, I didn't even use it in the first place. I don't even know how to use it. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was like, this person used my shit, and and they ended up giving me back the $650.
Wow. That's what it was. Yeah. They just wanted to borrow it.
Yeah, they just wanted to borrow it. I was like, you can't just borrow. You can't borrow my bone scanner, dude. I'll go chase you down like Pursuit of Happiness.
Not my brand new bone scanner.
Not my brand new bone scanner. You know what I mean? That's why I asked you the other day, Stephen, if you did anything other than hats, because I was like, you know, for me, all of my like biggest, you know, couple dollars to multi-hundred dollars, all those flips have come off of like, you know, big, like non-clothing related items.
Our best flip, probably Easton Press makes like awesome books, right? And so Lord of the Rings, Easton Press, the whole set by J.R. Tolkien or whoever. That's probably one of our best. Bought them for $1 a piece. And there was like probably 10 of them. And they were $400, $500, $600 books, each one of them. And we ended up making $3,000 or $4,000 on these Lord of the Ring books.
That's
and that's when we really got hooked on the whole reselling world.
We got hooked when Amanda did almost the same thing, but she brought these like religious, like some type of, it was like a scholar, like a religious scholar book set, basically.
Right.
And it was 10 books, $1 a pop. And she sold them to Stanford University for $1,000. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what? And yeah, sure enough, I was like, oh my, I was like, yeah, dude, this, I'm not working overtime no more, but we are going hard.
We're going to find some Metallica t-shirts today.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to start knocking on doors, dude.
Hey, books.
Yeah. Hey.
You there. Hey, books for sale.
99% of all the books in the world are worth 25 cents.
Exactly. Yeah. It just so
happens. And then when you start figuring that out, you're like, what am I doing with my life selling books?
Yeah. Isn't that weird though that it's like you apply that to almost everything.
Yeah.
Like even though we get all this stuff and we sell all of these things on like a weekly basis, still in the grand scheme of all the clothing, all the hats, all the golf apparel, all everything, it's like, you know, most of it's just worthless. You know, I mean, you know, it's worth a buck or two or whatever, you know what I mean? It's not worth anything. And it's just like, there's still so much of like the stuff that is worth something that it makes it all worth it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just wild.
For sure. All right, we've almost gone an hour. Let's wrap this up. Let's figure out where we're going to be next. When's your next show going to be, Coach?
I am this Saturday at 7:00. I'm going to do my master's show, my annual master's show.
That's going to be awesome.
20 shirts for men from medium to 2X, 3 for the ladies. Many ladies come by or men want to buy for their ladies. And then this shit ton of hats behind me. And oh, yeah, I got about 50 of these bad boys. Different dates.
Beer cups?
Yeah, they're the beer cups. And then I have some of the original big cups too.
Hey, what size is that belt back there?
Belt is a 36.
Oh.
Yep.
I need a
loop. Some of the biggies.
Ooh. Those are nice.
That's the year I graduated.
Yeah, the belt's a 36. I don't know if you can see it from there.
Oh, that's a beaut. Oh, yeah, that's a good belt. Mm. Too bad I'm not 36 or else they'd be having some con.
I'm sure you have a friend that's a 36.
Amanda! I'm playing. she's like a size 0. I don't even know what that even means.
Then after that, I'm going to take a week off. My parents are getting ready to move, so we're going to take them out to their favorite sushi place. Then I'm going to be back on whatnot week after week after week. You know, season's kicking in for golf, so
yes,
I'm going to get at it.
It's definitely hot right now.
Yes.
I mean, as you can see, I have plenty of stuff. That box right there, that's full of the Japan stuff from this past year.
Stud.
You've almost moved through all of it?
Yeah, there's a good bit of it.
There's more than I would like in here, but as you can see,
that's a. So we started out with quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. This box is all that's left of the hundreds of ball markers I had. I can't believe that no one has bought these. But I Clay Taylor made, so I don't mind keeping them.
I don't know what is that. I would know. Have no idea if that's good or not.
Taylor, well,
it's unique. It's unique because you're not getting that here in the States.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I always try and find stuff that's not here in the States. That's over there.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, my guy's international. He's Mr. Worldwide.
Like this.
What is that? Oh, cap and visor cleaner?
Yeah.
What is that? Japanese OxyClean?
Yeah. It's Japanese Dawn.
Yeah. It's got the scrubbing brush on it too, on the top.
Dang, dude. I'd put it on my armpits and be like, freaking, I'm ready to go.
You know that guy? Yeah. Old Tiger Woods Buick.
Oh, that's like what Steven had. Or, well, when he was, he had that Buick.
The hat. I think I agree with your Buick golf hat.
I still got it.
Original packages they gave out.
I still got it. Check out my Instagram. It's up there.
Yes. Yes.
When's your next show fired up?
Listen, April. Am I looking at the camera? You see me?
Yeah.
April 21st, I'm having a one-year whatnot show. I counted it out today, and just right now, I have 120 premium pieces. Like, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Metallica, ZZ Top, Pantera, all vintage from the 90s, Liquid Blues, like just a bunch of insane stuff. It's actually the only show probably in a whole year that I've actually like worked hard to try to accumulate all the good stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was at all those concerts.
Huh?
I think I was at all those concerts.
Yeah, see, and you should have bought the shirts and you should have kept them and then you would have been rich.
Well, I probably did buy the shirt. I just didn't keep it.
Yeah.
If you could only know.
If you could only know. Yeah, so April the 21st, 7:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, one-year show. I'm also going to do probably 10 to 20 super legit hats, like single line scripts, you know, like just very high dollar, really good hats. Yeah. So the 21st.
All right. We'll definitely catch that out or check that out. But we appreciate everyone else out there for hanging out with us today. You'll catch me on my next Whatnot show. When you catch me, you'll definitely probably see a reel or something. I'll throw it your way. I'm going to try and go the Saturday. I might go after Rob. I think I have enough stuff finally to get another hat show going. So
we'll be on the one. I'm sad to miss it, but if you're still there, I'll raid you.
Yeah, I probably you're gonna go on at like 6 my time, so it'll probably be 3 hours.
Your time, yeah.
It'll be close. You might be able to raid me. We will see. But appreciate everybody else hanging out today for the first episode of the Reselling Raiders. We'll see you again next time. Hopefully we get to episode number 4, because at that point you might even hear us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
See you guys. What?
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.